It is Monday night. It's April 1st, 2024. Yes, it's April Fool's Day. So happy April Fool's Day to everybody who celebrates out there. I'm Tanner Lee, joined by my co-host, Josh the J-Man Munt. J-Man, how you doing? Did you pull any April Fool's pranks on anybody today?
No. I forgot about it until you said something. But you're very lucky Purdue won on the 31st of March and not today, because there would have been a lot of jokes about that. But either way, you'd be in the Final Four, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't have cared either way. So it still feels a little surreal. Sure. To me at this point, a little, I guess we are 24 hours past the end of the game. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about that today. I was thinking before the show, this is definitely the biggest accomplishment either one of our sports teams have had since the start of the Tan and J-Man show in late 2016. Because we started it a month after the Cubs won the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah, our teams have not had too much success. Other than college basketball, really.
You're right. You're right. I mean, you've seen Cubs make the playoffs, I guess. I mean, the Yankees have been in the playoffs, but I haven't seen the Broncos make the playoffs since start of the Tan and J-Man show. So,
made it twice, three times, because they made it that year right after we started. But they haven't won a game in the playoffs. So,
well, maybe 2024 is the year for you.
Maybe. I have some birdie bogey for you. It is NCAA tournament related today.
Here it might be.
Yeah. There is only one school over the past four NCAA tournaments to be seeded a three seed or better in each of the last four NCAA tournaments. What school is that?
It's a great question.
One school seeded three seed or better in each of the last four NCAA tournaments. What school did that? Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. It is pizza night, dill pickle, supreme cheese, pepperoni, margarita, and their special tonight is pepperoni, banana pepper, and pineapple.
Pineapple on pizza. Actually, I don't mind pineapple on pizza. It's more my wife's green olives that I can't stand on pizza. But
yeah, she did refrain from the pineapple, though, didn't she, on Wednesday?
We didn't have any. That's the only reason. We didn't want to go to the store. We worked with what we had. So, yeah.
And yours is pretty simple. So just throw some pepperoni on that thing and call it a day.
Regular pepperoni for me, though. She had turkey pepperoni, which, I mean, I've had turkey pepperoni before. You can't tell much of a difference. I did drizzle with hot honey, and I gotta say, I thought it turned out better than a regular frozen pizza. So I was pretty proud of it.
Tasted good. Yeah, sometimes frozen pizza is hit or miss, in my opinion.
Very much so.
Yeah, what's your go to frozen sauce? Seems like we talk about pizza every single week on this show.
I've turned into a big freschetta guy. Freschetta frozen pizza.
Freschetta.
More of like a soft crust frozen pizza.
Okay.
Even though my favorite pizza overall, non-frozen, like I like a New York style pizza. Mm-hmm. I like the no flop crunch. So this isn't a crunchy frozen pizza, but I find it to be better than a majority of the other more well-known frozen pizza brands.
Yeah.
How about you?
Man, I go back and forth. I've gotten into Home Run Inn Pizza, which is a Chicago frozen pizza staple.
I've heard of it.
Which is good. Also like Lots of Matzah's pretty good. Screaming Sicilian's pretty good.
I'm hit or miss with that one. I've had good experience and bad experience with that one.
I like DiGiorno and Tombstone. I have never liked like Jack's or Tony's or Totino's.
I used to be a big Jack's guy. My wife likes those little Totino's pizzas. I'm not a fan. I tried one again last year for the first time since I was like a kid, and I'm like, it just doesn't do it.
Yeah, they were great when we were kids, but now that we are in our 30s, it's time to go up a notch.
I thought you were going to say it's time to grow up. I'm like, I don't want to grow up. But
I was going to say, we have not grown up. We're the same people we were when we started the show 8 years ago, almost 8 years.
Pretty much. We're just got a little more facial hair, I guess.
Yeah. I have less hair on top.
I wasn't more, touching that one.
You have more gray. I'll touch that.
That's the truth. That's truth. That's a fact. Why do you think I wear hats all the time on this podcast?
Smart. Smart. Yeah. Hey, just go bald like I like to do. My stupid clippers. I was gonna, you know, shave my head. I got the clown crown, as my wife calls it, which it does kind of look like a crown clown. Shave my head on Saturday to get ready for Easter, and literally the blade just fell off. So I had to buy another one. So the clown crown was out in force on Easter.
Happens. So yeah, I hope everybody out there listening or watching had a good Easter. Had a good Easter weekend. So I know I did. Had a good Easter weekend.
Yeah. You had one of the best you've probably ever had.
Yes. Yes. I think. Yeah, that was the best sporting event I've ever been to yesterday. I think that takes the cake.
Yeah.
I mean, 2019 was a great game down Louisville between Virginia and of course, and a heartbreak. Yeah. But this one felt like a heavyweight fight at times. And I was exhausted. After the game, it was to the point it was kind of embarrassing. Like, I felt like I shouldn't be emotionally and physically exhausted. Like, I
you were
was
just tense the whole time. Your muscles probably hurt.
Well, you barely sat during the game. Yeah. I mean, right when you sit down for a little bit, something happened, and then everybody in front of you stands up and you're up. And then, I mean, it was barely any sitting and just the wave of emotions. I mean, you know, towards the end of the game, a couple minutes left, Purdue has a lead, and they're trying to hold on. I'm having flashbacks 5 years ago, almost to the day, being in Louisville, and just remembering how that game ended. And it just didn't feel quite like I could breathe until I guess, I mean, even when Purdue was up six and Tennessee was coming down, 12 seconds left to shoot one more attempt at three until they missed that shot, and then the game was over. I couldn't really breathe.
Yeah, there were two moments where I was like, uh-oh. One was there was a scramble rebound. They found Kinect in the corner, and he hit a three to tie it with about 4 minutes left, something like that. Yep. And then Edie, who'd been nails from the line, airballed a free throw. We're like, uh-oh. But
I think that would have put him up seven at the time.
And yeah.
He airballed that button then.
It was fairly late where it didn't. I think there was a minute 10 left. Something.
Like and that. I guess the one play I kind of breathed to was Kinect was going for a layup and he blocked a shot. And Purdue got that ball. Yeah, that kind of
felt like the end.
But yeah, it was a back and forth game. I mean, two of the better players in the country, Zach Edey and Dalton Kinect, put on a show. Yeah. Zach Edey 40 points, Dalton Kinect 38 points.
Yeah. There was a time they probably did not show this in the stadium, but there was a time CBS showed Kinect and Edey had the same amount of points and their teammates had the exact same amount of points. I think Edey and Kinect had 28 and their teammates had 23 or something like that. It was obviously a tie game, but it was like neck and neck. And luckily for Purdue, Lance Jones steps up, hits a big shot. Lawyer stepped up, hit a big shot. Kinect got no help. His point guard Ziegler was horrendous yesterday. And that'd been kind of typical Tennessee, where, I mean, they get up 11, then Purdue immediate 14-0 run. Tennessee plays really good defense. They go on some scoring droughts, and that happened multiple times yesterday, where that's something that Purdue does not do because you just throw it down to that 7'4" guy, and he's going to either get fouled, whatever. He's going to get to the line and get at least 1 point out of it. They're dangerous.
Yeah, in Tennessee, I mean, Tennessee's defense, they pressure the ball. Like you said, they play good. But then that their one weakness is interior defense. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't looking forward to the matchup just because I'm so sick of playing Tennessee, even though Purdue's had good luck against Tennessee. Matt Painter's 4-1 against Tennessee in his career. He's 11-4 against the SEC as a whole, which I found that surprising yesterday. But even, you know, they beat Tennessee in football in the 2001 Music City Bowl. I'm like, it's going to flip. I just had a feeling. I'm like, it's going to flip. But I would be okay with not seeing them for a long time.
Yeah.
But they did not bring as many fans to Detroit as I thought they would. They had a section or two, but it wasn't near as many as I thought they would. I knew Purdue would have more, but I thought Tennessee's showing would be a little better than what it was. But shout
out to the Tennessee fans loud?
Yeah, no. I mean, as loud as they could be. Sure. I guess, but there just wasn't a lot of them there. I
wonder if CBS pumps in crowd noise because it sounds pretty dang loud for Tennessee. It was weird.
The attendance was 18,000 plus in the arena yesterday overall. And shout out to the city of Detroit. Little Caesars Arena is a nice arena. It might have been the nicest NBA arena I've ever been in. It's new, but it is very nice. It is cool how it's Little Caesars Arena, Comerica Park, where the Tigers play, Ford Field, where the Lions play, all right there together. Nice.
They used to play outside of the city in Auburn Hills.
Right. The Palace. Yeah, but and the Red Wings play at Little Caesars as well. But I was surprised, like, it's definitely more of a Pistons arena than a Red Wings arena. Even though the Red Wings are the better team right now, and historically are actually better than the Pistons too.
And Michigan's more of a hockey state than they are basketball too.
There was more Pistons stuff around the arena when you walked around than there was Red Wings stuff. But the arena was great, and it was loud in there. I mean, it got very, very loud in there. Yeah, it was a fun game, but like Thad Mooney said, the whole second half, I'm in a glass case of emotions. Ron Burgundy off Anchorman. It's kind of what I felt like. It is March. It is March Madness. It is roller coaster of a ride, and love it, but also hate this time of year at the same time. But I just so happy for Purdue fans and the players and the coaching staff, especially the players and the coaching staff that had to sit and hear about losing to Fairleigh Dickinson for a year, and they respond in the best way possible. Well, the best way possible is to win the whole thing, but you got to get to the Final Four to be able to win the national championship, and at least they did that so far.
And now they get to play an 11 seed in the national semifinal game.
Which a double-digit seed has been, Kryptonite and Matt Painter's, but this isn't your typical double-digit seed. This is a big conference double-digit seed, which Purdue hasn't really faced too many times in the NCAA tournament. This isn't a Fairleigh Dickinson or St. Peter's or North Texas or Little Rock or yada, 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 even VCU. And NC State has the worst record of any team to ever make the Final Four, which is crazy. I mean, NC State was not a good basketball team.
No.
Until something got in them these last nine games that they rattled off nine games in a row, which credit to them. I mean, that's impressive. It's just it's about getting some momentum, making your guys believe, and then they're doing it right now.
It is, in my opinion, the most improbable Final Four run I've ever seen. They had to win their conference tournament in order to get in. There was no shot at an at-large. Tuesday of the ACC tournament, they are tied with 8-24 Louisville with 4 minutes left. Find a way to win. Then they play a couple other teams they beat. Did they beat Miami? I know they beat Carolina. But they were down.
When they beat Virginia, or is that where you're going to hit on?
That's what I was going to hit on. Down three against Virginia. Virginia's at the line shooting two, and their guy had not missed two straight free throws all year, and he missed both. And instead of Virginia fouling as they got across half court, they let him shoot a three, and he nails the three at the buzzer to tie it. And then, of course, they end up winning the tournament. And then they get six-seeded. Who'd they get? Texas Tech. Took care of them. Then they were helped out facing a 14 seed in Oakland. They did go to overtime. Then Marquette shot 4-32 from three, and then they got away. They found a way to beat their rival. Can you imagine how bad Duke's feeling right now? Conference rival, you have to wait 25 minutes from your campus. You play them in the Elite Eight. They're an 11 seed. You think you have the thing absolutely locked up, and you lose to that team.
Well, they beat them in the ACC tournament too?
I think Duke lost to them then as well. I know you say that.
They shouldn't have been feeling that confident going into that yesterday.
Fair. But improbable run. And if they can somehow get to the title game, there's going to be documentaries about them. Like, it is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, aren't they the highest seed ever to win the national title? And it happened in the 80s?
In 83.
I think they were the highest seed to ever win it then. Mm. They were a 9 or 10 seed. I think they won it. Could be mistaken, but I think so. They made runs like this in the past, but from a fan standpoint, I kind of wanted to see Duke win as far as like the whole building being for Purdue, because everybody would have been, because everybody hates Duke. Now it's going to be Purdue against everybody in that arena, because you know DJ Burns is the darling of the tournament, and NC State's the so-called Cinderella, I guess, if you have one. So,
Yeah. It's a it's an interesting Final Four. I mean, you have Purdue, haven't been in 44 years. NC State hasn't been in 41 years. Alabama, it's their first time ever. And then you have UConn, who's won more titles than anyone this century.
Yep. They either win it or get knocked out or don't make it. Yeah. Or they get knocked out in the first round, I should say. Win it or don't make it. Yeah.
They are an absolute juggernaut. Witness that firsthand on Saturday. They are the fourth best team in the KenPom era. Thing is, though, two of those other three ahead of them did not win the title. 2021 Gonzaga, 2015 Kentucky. The only team that did is 2008 Kansas. They're shooting 28% from three in the tournament, and they are winning by an average of 23 points. Mm-hmm. I have never seen anything like it. On Saturday, 30-0 run. Illinois hung in there. They played tough. They could not hit shots in the first half. Found themselves down five. You know, I felt okay. And then it was just an absolute blitz to start that second half. You found yourself down 17 by the 15-minute mark, 30 at one point. It was an embarrassing sort of effort. But
Illinois just couldn't put it in the hoop either. Couldn't. I mean, you hit a few threes in that stretch, and at least they slow it down a little bit. Yeah. They just couldn't because UConn was doing a great job not letting them drive. You know, Terrence Shannon, they shut him down, they couldn't drive. So, and then – you could see them panicking. They just started to panic when it hit about 15, and then it was just they were in trouble.
Yeah, and that's a team who's been mentally tough. I mean, all season long, they got down double digits in the second half of all three Big Ten tournament games and found a way to come back. They were one of the only teams, if not the only team, to have not lost by double digits all season, and they found themselves down 30 against a really good UConn team. The nation needs Zach Edey versus Donovan Clingan. the two best big guys in the country. Edey obviously has the bulk and the size, but Klingon 7'2" and he probably has the length and he has the quickness and athleticism. So it would be fascinating matchup between those two, where Edey might finally meet somewhat of a match to him. He will meet a match size wise as far as weight goes on Saturday against DJ Burns. Yeah. That would be the nation needs it. Now it'll probably be Alabama and Purdue or something, which Purdue's already beaten them this year. I don't see any more Purdue.
Alabama had to hit 16 threes to beat Clemson. They're going to have to at least hit that many to beat UConn, if not 20.
That's what makes them dangerous, though, because they
I know. They
hit 23s against Purdue and still found a way to lose, right? Like they were hitting everything and found a way to lose. They play no defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, top two teams in the country, Purdue, UConn. It should be the matchup, but you never know. Anything
else. Never know. I mean, it's crazy to think we're at the Final Four. I mean, it's the last down the last four teams. It's an interesting Final Four. You do have 2-1 seeds, but like I said, then you got a 4 seed and a 11 seed. And I'm glad Ray Davis brought this up on Facebook because this was going to be a point of mine. NC State does not have a bench. That is one thing that could hurt them in a tight game against Purdue is if Purdue can get in their bench and their role players. NC State, if they can get some NC State guys in foul trouble early, NC State doesn't have much of a bench.
They will get them in foul trouble early. I mean, Edey's 20 free throws away from setting the all-time record. So they will. I mean, that's what Purdue does all year. They get to the free throw line. And actually, this will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week.
All right.
I think Edey actually sets the record on Saturday. He does not take it to Monday, which I do think like 99% chance they get to Monday.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks for throwing that out there.
But, I'm on a 3-book-it streak. I'm on a 3-book-it streak. So let's make this 4. J-Man's Book of Virginia, we're brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis, watching for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watching@infb.com. I did not say Purdue was going to win, so I think I helped you out a little bit.
You didn't, and you know what's interesting? If Purdue does win, and no matter if they play Alabama or UConn, I might have to have a bucket next to me on this time next week during the show, because I'm going to be probably throwing up all day. But two, you cannot do a book it for the national championship next week. You know why?
Why?
Next week's Masters.
Oh, son of a gun. Something's got to give. You know what? That's going to be the rare 2-book-it week.
Oh, okay.
Making the rules this week. It is the Masters. I didn't think of that. Yeah, I got to keep
You know what's amazing? Because I was texting our good friend of the pod, Aaron Lynch, who has been on the pod a couple times, you know, over the years, big golf fan. I'm like, is it me or is there's just not a lot of hype around the Masters this year? He goes, well, you know, it does hurt with the live stuff still, where a lot of the big, some of the big names can't play. And he said, you know, you've been so focused on Purdue, you probably just aren't as hyped about the Masters as you typically are. I'm like, yeah, good point. Because Ricky is back in the field for the first time in 4 years this year. So, not saying he can do anything, but he's in the field.
That's going to have to be your book at that week.
So, So the Elite Eight, we had some good games. Sweet 16, we had some good games. What were some of your takeaways, I guess, from both those rounds? Last time we talked, we hadn't even talked Sweet 16.
Yeah. Illinois finding a way to get it done against Iowa State, which was huge. Just to get to an Elite Eight. I was so happy and thrilled with the way, obviously getting blitzed by UConn did not feel good, but getting to an Elite Eight, that's a successful season. And people are talking about how the season will end in disaster and all that. It ends in disaster for 351 of the 352 Division I teams.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that ticks me off with fan bases.
It's getting worse and worse. It's getting worse and worse, too.
It's terrible. I will go on record and say I think if anyone was watching it at that time, because I think it was 12:30 Eastern time that the game ended, Terrence Shannon's steal and dunk with 20 seconds left to put him up six is the second most important play this century for Illinois outside of the Darren Williams three to tie it. I think that'll be the play that second – most remembered play looking back. Obviously you have the Tyler Griffey buzzer beater, but it was a, you know, regular season game. But D Wills three to tie against Arizona, Shannon steal and dunk to kind of ice it against Iowa State. I was so happy to get to an Elite Eight. It felt so good to be there. And I wish they would have played any team other than UConn.
Yeah. The bracket just didn't break their way,
which I mean, you got to beat who you play. So I'm not making that as an excuse. Cause they are a juggernaut.
Oh, and they took care of a really good team in the Sweet 16, whereas, you know, at that point, they're like, people are like, well, they've beaten they played round one.
Stetson, Northwestern.
No. I'm sorry. Illinois.
Oh, Illinois. Morehead State, Duquesne.
Morehead State, yeah. I think Morehead State, Duquesne, you know. So people are saying, well, they haven't really played anybody well, and then then they beat a really good Iowa State team.
Yeah. And remember coming into the tourney, people were talking how Iowa State should have been the final number one seed over Carolina, too. So that was easily Illinois' best win on the year.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, though, I was thoroughly unimpressed with Iowa State. I just couldn't score the ball. Really good defensively, but
Yeah, they could not score the ball that night. But how do you feel like it's so hard with momentum in continuity in college sports anymore? Because I was gonna say, you know, the program's got great momentum going in the next year after a Big Ten tournament championship in Elite Eight, but it could be all new fresh faces, so that might not matter.
That is the way. It kind of,
but I guess you use that as a recruiting chip.
Yeah,
to and get they, guys through, you know?
They have a pretty incredible sell with, you know, Domask, the 1 year transfer.
Yeah.
And Shannon was a transfer. And they could even sell the 4 year development of Coleman Hawkins, too, where he played 157 minutes his freshman year and then was a very important piece the past 2 years. So they have a good transfer sell. I think the strategy this year should be go out and get multi year transfers, although it doesn't really matter this year. Anymore because they'll just transfer again if they don't want to be there, but
which is
pretty
so
good
sell.
Yeah, so they got to do something with that. Got to do something with the NIL. We've talked about that so much.
Yeah,
it's getting worse and worse. It seems like.
Yeah.
But I trust. I mean, I trust Brad Underwood completely because he has completely rebuilt his system each of the last 4 years to fit the talent he has, and it's gone pretty well. I mean, last year was kind of disappointing, but completely new guys, and they've found a way to get it done. I mean, they have two Big Ten tournament titles, regular season titles. So the people that don't trust Brad Underwood are idiots because he's obviously proven he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, that's one thing I was so relieving after yesterday is there shouldn't be. I'm sure there are. I just haven't seen them. There shouldn't be any more Matt Painter, so-called fire Matt Painter Purdue fans.
Can't believe we only won by six.
Yeah, there was. I did see there was one guy on Facebook, which Facebook, I don't even.
Facebook's,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but there's one guy that said, I still don't trust him unless he gets it all done all the way through Monday.
Then you're never going to be happy, man. You're never going to be happy. And you know what? He'll find a way to whine even if they do win.
It's just like, man, like, don't watch sports, you know?
Yeah.
Sports, you know, Josh and I take sports pretty seriously. It brings out an array of emotions for us. But, you know, when you're having fun with it and you can enjoy it, it's great. But
and yeah, the fire Matt Painter faction of the Purdue fan base is the dumbest faction of any fan base in the country. He is a top five coach in college basketball. The only guys that I would say are in that category are probably like, I don't know, Mark Few, Bill Self, Kelvin Sampson, and probably Dan Hurley at this point. I wouldn't take anyone else in the Big Ten over Matt Painter. That's for sure. Probably no one else in the country besides maybe those guys. Over Matt Painter, I think he's, especially with the talent he has, because you look at it, Edie, three-star guy from Canada, who he did play basketball in Florida or high school in Florida.
Well, that's the crazy part, and I think, and Zach kind of mentioned it yesterday in the post-game press conference, is he still uses it as fuel for all these coaches that came and watched IMGG Academy, because they're not a small school. They're a very well-known school in their own country. They came and watched practices, and his, you know, so many coaches just passed over him. Like he said, Rick Barnes was in there all the time watching practice and passed over him. So he uses that as fuel, which I'm for it. I'm like, whatever you can do, big fella, to get yourself motivated, go for it.
And then you look at Braden Smith. He wasn't even a top 150 guy. And you guys kept talking about him last year, and I kind of rolled my eyes like, yeah, sure, he's going to be good. Top five point guard in the country. So it shows how much I know. Lance Jones from Southern Illinois, they ended up perfect fit for that team. Yep. He doesn't have to be a star, just plays his role well. Painter, I mean, you talked last week, Calipari does less with more. Painter does more with less. That's the difference between the two.
Yeah, Ray Davidson got to give a lot of credit to Purdue University, or got to give Purdue University a lot of credit for believing in Painter. Yeah, because I mean, there was one time when I was a student there, you know, his seat was getting warm, and it was probably deservingly so after two bad back-to-back years, and then the next year wouldn't start off so hot, but they righted the ship, and there was a lot of internet chatter the last few seasons after losing the double-digit seeds, but administration knew better. They knew better. I think Matt will be getting a nice. I think he'll be getting a nice raise this offseason.
For sure,
he deserves it.
And I saw Matt credited the Baby Boilers as class that got him going, because it is true. Because he took over. I mean, it was a dumpster fire when he took over. Man, Katie won seven games his final year there. Yep. Painter won nine games his first year. Baby Boilers come in, immediately go to the tourney. So they were the class that got him going. Obviously, it's been a long time since then, 15, 16, 17 years at this point. But they are Hummel and Jawan and Etwan, Scott Martin. Credit Scott Martin for all of it.
Yeah. And that's one thing he noted. And, you know, Robbie Hummel was there because he did radio for Westwood One yesterday. And there was a good picture of him and Matt, and Robbie had been crying. And because he just said after the game, you know, after I did what I had to do for my job, I just couldn't help but be emotional, because it was for the Robbie Hummels and the Etwan Moore, Juwan Johnson's, Chris Kramer's, Caleb Swanigan, who's no longer with us, other guys who, Carson Edwards, who built the foundation for Purdue to be able to get over the hump yesterday. And glad Gene Cady could be there in person to see it too, because sooner or later, Matt's probably going to be looked at as the best coach in Purdue history.
He did
something that Gene never did. Got to the Final Four. So
also got to give Ronnie Johnson some credit. I say that jokingly, but I think Matt Painter realized, okay, we can't have a guy like that on our team anymore. Let's completely change that culture and narrative. Yep. And so he goes out and gets, Vince Edwards and Dakota Mathias and PJ Thompson, guys who only want to win. Ever since then, besides one, bad year, which was the COVID year, essentially, when everything shut down, it's been rolling.
Yeah. He's got a good culture there, and it truly feels like the Purdue basketball family is truly a family. That's one thing they don't shy away from, and I think a lot of other universities, and another big one in the state of Indiana, they don't have that. They don't have
Ray Davis. Yeah.
Ray Davis. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. He was a staple of getting things back on track. So, it's been a it's been a fun day being a Purdue fan. Like I kind of put on social media, Purdue fans enjoy it this week. And then hopefully the job's not done because there's more work to be had and starts in Phoenix on Saturday. And I'll be nervous come Saturday, but I'm going to take time to enjoy it this week because it's been a long time coming.
Yeah. You got all week to watch as much highlights of your game from yesterday as possible and watch as much stuff. And I've been there for sure.
Yep. So yeah. But do you want to go ahead and pick Final Four games?
Let's do it.
Well, we'll start with, I guess, Purdue at NC State because that is the first game at 6:09. I'm just looking up the point spread to see if it moved from the last time I checked.
Was it like Purdue's
eight and a half point favorites.
Nailed it. Yeah, I think Purdue, I think the NC State run kind of comes to an end. This is the best team, obviously, NC State's run into. And, you know, their big guy, what's his name? I'm blanking.
DJ right Burns.
Now. DJ Burns. Fun story, fun guy to watch. They are acting like he's some, like, loser that's having this great run. He was a top 100 guy that started his career at Tennessee. So he's not some bum out there. Fun to watch, but zero depth. And again, NC State had to have Marquette shoot 4 for 32 from three in order to beat them, and had some lucky breaks against Oakland. And I think that run kind of comes to an end. Purdue handles them. I would say, 14 points is I think they handle them pretty well. Pretty
easy. I am interested to see how Purdue will shoot in a football stadium. I haven't seen them play in a football stadium in a long time. They didn't shoot well there in the past.
They did in the Big Ten tournament and in the NCAA tournament in 2021. They were at Lucas Oil both times, and they lost both games.
Okay. All right. The bubble. You're right. I was like, what? The bubble season. So I'm interested to see that. I doubt any of these guys, well, besides Morton, Gillis, and Edie, probably the rest of them haven't played in a football stadium. But NC State's got to play there too. So there's going to be weird shooting backgrounds. But I got to think Purdue's going to hit more than just three threes like they did yesterday. If they could have hit their open looks yesterday, they could have really stretched the game out.
The guy who's been shooting poorly is Mason Gillis, which is kind of surprising. He had a bunch of open looks yesterday that just did not go down, and he was, 50% on the season coming in?
Yeah, he hit some big ones against Gonzaga. Yeah. Or at least two, maybe just two or three. But yesterday he had 0 points. He had a lot of good rebounds. I mean, he's still a dog of dogs out there for Purdue. He was missing the open ones, and Fletcher was missing some open ones. I mean, Fletcher hit one, Braden hit one, Lance hit the biggest one. Those were the three guys that hit threes yesterday. So I got to think Purdue's going to shoot a little better. And I'll go with Purdue with a 10-point win. I think they just cover that. Mark, that Moody on Facebook said, Lance as a SIU player versus this year's Lance proves the culture of bringing guys that want to win and only win works, along with First and Ethan Morton accepting their roles that they don't see the floor much. When they do, it's for the team's need of the game, like Morton's two fouls. I don't know if you saw that against Gonzaga. They brought him in right before the end of half when the fouls give. It's two fouls in 9 seconds. Yeah. But he was all smiles when he went back to the bench. Like, okay, did my job.
He knows his role.
Yep. So that good point, Thad. Second game, UConn and Alabama. UConn's a 11.5 point favorite.
UConn. Again, they're shooting 28% from three. It seems like they will bounce back from that as well and shoot a little better. But I think Alabama poses some issues because they're just going to keep shooting threes, and that can keep a team in a game. And, you know, you have this great year, and if Alabama hangs around, you can start seeing them get a little tight. Dan Hurley, top five coach in college basketball. I think UConn gets it done fairly handily.
Yeah, as arrogant as he is,
I can't stand
he knows what he's doing. Ray's picking UConn 86-70. I'm taking UConn by 13. I really wanted to take him only by single digits to say that somebody actually gave him a game for the first time in a while.
You might not want somebody to give them a game, though. You might want them to win by, 30, because I think they will win. But,
I will say they have all the pressure on them of anybody in the Final Four. I know Purdue's going to against a double-digit seed and, probably should win. But UConn's got the pressure going back-to-back now. If it happens to be UConn and Purdue next Monday, Purdue's playing with house money at that point. I mean, of course you want to win the national championship. Don't get me wrong. But UConn will feel the pressure more so than Purdue. And I think Purdue's probably been the most – pressure-filled team all season long this year just because of what happened last year.
Yeah. I think even
this team had to make the Final Four.
Yeah.
They had to.
I think even get to the Final Four, you've been playing with house money. Just to get that monkey off your back, I think they can kind of take a deep breath and play loose. I know obviously you want to win the whole thing, and playing an 11 seed, you don't want to lose to an 11 seed. I think you can handle you can handle losing to a UConn. You lose to an 11 seed and you're gonna still be thinking, man, what if, you know?
Absolutely. But yeah, all said and done, I was glad I made the trip up to Detroit yesterday. And we didn't get the tickets till, I think it was Saturday, we got the tickets, if my mind serves me correctly. So glad we pulled the trigger on those. We're able to go witness some history for Purdue. And then, it was a fun day indeed. And I just had a laugh watching my wife during the game. She kept looking at me like, this is stressful. I told you, going to this game, like NCAA tournament games live are different than regular season games. It's especially if the game's tight. It's stressful, but we had a lot of fun. So, but I got a pick six list that has to do with college basketball. Let me get the. It's got to do with tournament darling players over the years, since DJ Burns is such a topic of conversation right now around the college basketball world. I picked some guys over the years. Some are more well-known than others, especially in their pro careers, but I was just trying to find all of them that played on mostly mid-majors. There's one guy who played on a bigger school, and this guy is the guy who played on a bigger school, Kevin Pitsnoggle of West Virginia.
Man, he's an assistant principal at a high school. I was just – somebody put a thread on Twitter. It was what March Madness heroes are doing now, and Kevin Pitsnoggle was the first guy. 6'9", could shoot it. That was kind of a Cinderella West Virginia team. They're an 8 seed that got all the way to the Elite Eight and ended up losing.
And they were killing Louisville that game.
Yeah, they were huge. And they would have been the team that played Illinois in the national semifinal that year. Of course, Illinois took care of Francisco Garcia and the boys. Would have been interesting. Mike Gansey and Kevin Pitsnoggle. That was a pretty good team. That was kind of the first time I'd ever heard of John Beilein, too.
I was going to say, put him on the map. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How about Eric Maynor of VCU?
Oh, man. Was he on that team that beat Duke?
Yes.
That was a mediocre Duke team that got a 7 seed, and they lost a 10 seed to Duke. I think that's the seeding. He's kind of the player that put VCU on the map because they had a nice run after that. Anthony Grant was there, then he ended up going to Alabama, and then Shaka takes over, and then Will Wade takes over. So they had some pretty good coaches. And now Mike Rhodes took over at Penn State. He was there last season. VCU is not the program they once were, but they're still hang around in the A-Town a little bit.
How about Ali Farakmanash of Northern Iowa?
Northern Iowa. I remember watching that at a restaurant in Florida my senior year of high school on spring break. He took arguably the worst three in NCAA history. They're up one against Kansas with about 38 seconds left, and instead of just pulling it out, that's when the shot clock was at 35, too. Mm-hmm. Instead of pulling it out and getting fouled and all that, he decided to jack up a three with about 38 seconds left, about a 10-second difference, and he nailed it. So credit to him. Yeah, I think they were an 8 or 9 seed beating a 1 seed Kansas.
Yep. I watched that play today. So, I forgot there was that much time left on the clock when he let it go.
Yeah, it was a terrible shot, but it worked. He is now an assistant at Colorado State.
All right, I did not know that.
He was also on that thread with Kevin Pitsnoggle. That's how I know that.
How about Kyle O'Quinn of Norfolk State?
Oh, man, he had a pretty long NBA career. Mm-hmm. I think he's still hanging around or was just a few years ago. That Missouri team was arguably the best in their history, too. they had who are those brothers that played for him? The point guards. Oh, I can see their face. They killed Illinois every single year.
I can't help you. I just know John Heath was their coach.
Stan Heath?
Stan, yeah.
I don't think it was Stan Heath then. It was the guy ended up going to Tulsa. He was terrible.
I thought it was him before he went.
No. I'm pretty sure it wasn't. That was that Missouri team. A lot of people were projected to get to the Final Four that year. They were really good, and they found a way to lose.
That was 2-15, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. How about Stephen Curry Davidson?
Oh, man, he was a little known player. Took Davidson to an Elite Eight, and then the next year they didn't even make the tourney. It was pretty disappointing. for them. But man, he was the epitome of March Madness hero. He walked so guys like Jimmer Fredette could run, sort of deal. And of course, now he's one of the greatest NBA players ever. I don't think anyone saw that coming.
No, I honestly thought he was going to flame out coming into the pros. I'm like, he's going to be okay, but he's not going to be like, I was like, why did they take him over? Like when, or no, maybe the Timberwolves took Johnny Flynn over.
Johnny
him,
Flynn.
But I'm like, yeah, Johnny Flynn's going to be better pro.
He's going to be a lot better. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and lastly, Gordon Hayward, a Butler.
Oh man. He was inches away from hitting maybe the greatest shot in NCAA tournament history. Against Duke, they were definitely Cinderellas that year. What seed were they? They were good. They were a good five. Team. They were a five seed, but they were in the Horizon at that point still, yes. Correct?
Yes.
And they hung in there. They were the David, and Duke was the Goliath, and they came so dang close. In Indianapolis.
They were so much better than their team the next year. That was a runner-up against Connecticut and Houston. That team had no business sniffing the championship game and shouldn't have, except the Pittsburgh guy fouled it like 70 feet away from the bucket after a free throw.
Yeah.
Hayward was having a pretty good NBA career. Hadn't been the same, of course, since his gruesome leg injury. But he
made a lot of money.
Still hang around the league as a role player.
Who was that other guy they had? Matt Howard.
Howard, yeah.
And they had like Shelvin Mack and Ronald Norred. Yeah, those guys were pretty dang good.
Yeah, Brad Stevens had – and they had Brad Stevens at the helm coaching. Could do much worse than that. Much worse than that. And that is the Pick 6 segment this week, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Proforma Print 2 Promo Group. If you're listening. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Proforma Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. You need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
You want to be educated?
Yes, sir, always.
On this day in 1930, Chicago Cubs catcher Leo Hartnett, pretty sure that was Gabby Hartnett, unless he had a brother named Leo who was also a catcher, breaks the altitude record for a catch by gloving a baseball dropped from the Goodyear blimp 800 feet over Los Angeles, California.
I wonder if they shot off some sparklers in celebration for that.
Nah, that was embarrassing.
That was pretty bad look today.
Pathetic. I've shot off better fireworks in my driveway. Then the Cubs
Don't do anything until the whole team gets out the bid, shoot off actual fireworks.
Or just don't do anything at all. They just didn't do anything at all. That was embarrassing today. On this day in a lot of hockey. 1969, the Seattle Pilots, who then turned into the Seattle Mariners, trade little-known minor league outfielder Lou Piniella to Kansas City Royals for two prospects. He ended up winning Rookie of the Year and then becomes one of the best managers in baseball.
Good old Lou.
On this day in 1972, Major League Baseball players staged their first ever collective strike. Play ended up resuming April 13th when owners and players agreed to a $500,000 increase in pension fund payments. On this day in 1973, Boston Celtics captain John Havlicek scores career-high 54 points against the Atlanta Hawks in Game 1 of the first round of Eastern Conference playoffs.
He was a pretty solid player.
Havlicek steals it. Havlicek stole the ball. on this day in 1984, the third ever NCAA Women's Basketball Championship was played. Who won?
84. I'm gonna take a weird guess because I think this team was really good at women's hoops at one point. Louisiana Tech.
It's a good guess, but incorrect. It was USC. Okay. They won back to back.
That was Cheryl Miller.
Yep, yeah. Cheryl Miller, second consecutive MOP award.
Yeah, she was really, really good. So was her brother.
I remember hearing a story about Reggie came home from his game one time, and he's like, hey, Cheryl, I scored 50 tonight. How many did you score? And she goes, I scored 106.
Yeah, he grew up in her shadows, and it was tough for him for a long time.
Yeah. On this day in 1984, the PGA Tournament Players Championship was held at TPC at Sawgrass. Who won?
84. This is way too old, probably, but Tom Watson?
24-year-old Fred Couples.
Freddie.
Finished one stroke ahead of runner-up Lee Trevino.
Oh, two Hall of Famers.
Who won the men's basketball championship on this day in 85?
85. Was that Houston or NC State?
That was the Villanova.
Okay.
Beats Patrick Ewing.
Okay.
They, all right. They were the lowest seeded team to ever win it at eight okay. seed. So.
Eight seed. Okay.
On this day in 1991, who won the men's basketball championship?
So UNLV.
Duke beat Kansas. Oh. Christian Laettner, MOP.
Devin. Okay.
On this day in 96, who won?
96 would have been Kentucky.
You are correct.
Tony Delk. Richard Pitino. Tony Delk and Antoine Walker, Ron Mercer.
That's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
On this day in 1996, I've seen this video way too many times, but veteran American MLB umpire John McSherry passed away of a heart attack while umpiring on opening day at Cincinnati Reds Riverfront Stadium. He was only 51. Wow. Yeah. He was a big boy, and that kind of helped them force MLB umpires to be in halfway decent shape. So it's kind of an interesting factoid, even though it was a tragic thing that happened.
But,
yeah. On this day in 2001, who won the women's NCAA basketball championship?
Notre Dame over Purdue.
It was North Miami's own Ruth Riley named Miami's outstanding, most outstanding player.
I remember watching that game.
On this day in 2002, who won the men's basketball title?
2002?
Mm-hmm.
Men's? Oh, yeah, I got to think about this. 2002. So Duke was 01. And then you had Syracuse. Who was 02? Oh, it's Maryland over Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana's last Elite Eight appearance came 22 years ago.
Here's a cool thing. Ray Davis here on Facebook said he coached Tony Delk, coached against Tony Delk in AAU at the national championships when he was a senior. Yeah.
That's pretty
good player.
Pretty cool. On this day in 2018, who won the women's basketball title? I believe we watched this at my apartment in Rochester, Indiana.
2018 women's. Was that Baylor? I don't know.
Notre Dame won on that buzzer beater.
I don't recall that at all.
We might have watched the game before now that I think about it. I screwed up.
I was going to say, I don't recall that at all.
That's going to do it for your education tonight.
So this was a good day in history for Notre Dame women's basketball. Two different national championships.
Yeah. Pretty good.
April 1st for the I just see Jaden Ivey's mother. They got knocked out in the Sweet 16 this year.
Just about to ask if Jaden Ivey's mom was still the coach.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And Jaden Ivey was in the house yesterday watching his former team, which is cool. Plays for the Pistons.
Oh, yeah, he does play for the Pistons.
They had an off day yesterday and they have a home game tonight. So, yeah, that was neat.
Every game for the Pistons from here on out is an off day. Let's be honest.
They're awful. They're awful. That's the On to Say segment, which brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. Like I said, make a great present for Mother's Day or Father's Day. So get your sign orders in. You will not be disappointed by the work Thad does. We'll talk some baseball.
Baseball. Kind of the same way you have talked about the Masters, how it doesn't seem like there's as much hype. I've had a hard time getting into baseball because, again, Illinois played on Saturday, right. And it was the I'm pretty sure the first time – Illinois and the Cubs have played a regular season game when Illinois played since the 05 title game. So I have not watched a ton. I did watch a little bit yesterday. I was mainly focused on the Purdue game. And then obviously couldn't watch today because I was at work. But Cubs are 2-2. They handled the Rockies today, and Rockies are bad.
You mean giving up 14 runs in an inning's not good?
Yeah. Like the third inning of the year, they gave up the 14 runs.
Yeah, it was the third inning of the year. And then they only gave up 2 runs the next 6 innings.
Oh, yeah. You take out those 14 runs and we only lose by 3. you take out that 30-0 run and Illinois wins on Saturday. today, though, bad news Bears, Rockies. Now there's 2 more games of the series, so it could reflect poorly on me talking trash. But
you already told the Cubs they suck on X. So
I did. I was grumpy. I get grumpy with the Cubs more than I do any other of my teams.
You do it's really get grumpy.
And there's 158 games left. I've already declared the season's over. I think Cubs are pretty good, though. If the Pirates won today, they were up in the eighth. They were 5-0, which is crazy. They're up 3-2 in the eighth, I believe, against the Nationals. They've had the easiest schedule in baseball so far. So, yeah, you got to win. They did that exact same thing last year, too. Think about it. No offense to Sean Shriver.
Pirates won 8-4.
They're 5-0. I don't want to rain on Sean Shriver's parade. And maybe the
Yankees are 4-0.
Yankees took all 4 in Houston over the weekend. That's a pretty dang good way to start. Juan Soto's been a beast for him so far.
We have a friend, a mutual friend that's a big Astros fan. He was at the Astro-Yankee game yesterday, but he's a Purdue grad. Didn't watch the first 5 innings of the baseball game he was at because he's watching his phone the whole time.
Yeah, in April baseball game, you can kind of, focus on other things.
Can you tell me the other AL team who's undefeated right now? Because there are only 2 of them, only one besides the Yankees.
Oh, it's the Tigers, right?
Tigers.
They swept. The White Sox are bad. I'm pretty sure the White Sox lost today. Likely the second worst team in the American League. And they might rival the Oakland A's.
The White Sox are 0-4.
But, Cubs today. Shota Imanaga, his first career start. He had a soft landing against the bad Rockies lineup. He went 6 scoreless, took a no-hitter into the 6, struck out 9. Couldn't ask for a better debut. Chris Murrow comes through with a big hit into left field. They were going to hold the runner at third. The ball goes under Nolan Jones's glove, goes all the way to the wall, 2 runs score. He throws it back in, throws it away, and Chris Morel had a Little League home run today. So it was a pretty embarrassing display by arguably the worst.
Probably an embarrassing organization.
Yeah, probably the worst team in the National League. Every single time Chris Bryant comes back, he gets a standing ovation. I mean, he's been back 10 times now at least. And he's gotten a standing ovation. So that's the thing. People don't forget.
No. I mean that's going to be, I'm not saying the Cubs are never going to win another World Series, but that in your lifetime, Allie, I think they will.
They should.
But that team's always going to be probably a majority of Chicago Cub fans' favorite team.
Yeah. Assuming Rizzo's still with the Yankees and healthy, he comes back to Wrigley for the first time in September, and that ovation is going to be absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Absurd. So, because he was the guy that started all the captain, if you will. But
yes.
Yeah, baseball's underway. My focus has started to shift towards baseball now that Illinois is out of it, and they're playing some bad defense, the Cubs are, which should have been a strength coming in, but they don't have a real third baseman, and it started to rear its ugly head already. They lose their top pitcher, one of the top pitchers in the National League, Justin Steele, in the 5th inning to a hamstring strain. He'll probably miss the first month, and their first month is brutal. They got the Dodgers coming to town this weekend, and they have to go to West Coast against the National League, defending National League champs, Diamondbacks, and they have to go to Seattle. So hopefully they can stay afloat in April to
those are late games for you, too, to watch.
Well, I'm not staying. With a baby now, I can't make
that's true.
We're putting our baby down at 8, and I am out by 8:45 a lot of the time. It's very nice. So
Cubs are already putting her asleep. She was all geared up, ready to go for opening day, and she's asleep.
Yeah. I don't think she's watched a second with me. And when Illinois plays, my wife and her have decided to get as far away from the house as they can.
You know, Ari raising it right.
I was pretty good against Iowa State. UConn, I was like, I wanted to win that one so bad.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to give it the best shot they could give them, and they didn't. But at least they got the opportunity to give them the shot. That's what I'm happy for. But, yeah, she'll have a lot of baseball watching in her future. Hopefully she likes sports. I have indoctrinated her. She sits on my knee, and she will not stop looking at the TV when basketball's on. You'll have to watch you'll have to ask my wife, Megan. She will follow it. Like, she'll be looking. I don't know if it's the colors or the ball bouncing or whatever, but she loves basketball. That's what I'm telling
you. That's good. I like it.
That, another thing. Yeah. Ray Davis giving us some good topics. Did you see the NCAA regional on women's that the 3-point line was off?
I did. How the heck does that
happen?
That's
embarrassing. And the NCAA should be ashamed, because there's been multiple instances where they have kind of screwed over the women as far as meals go in the past year, housing, and now this. And I know I think it was NC State and whoever they played agreed to just deal with it and play. But that's pathetic. And the NCAA should be embarrassed. The NCAA is a joke to begin with.
I was going
to
say, I don't care.
They couldn't care less. They're cashing checks. But And we also have Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese tonight. So
yeah, that'll be a big ratings grabber for ESPN.
Huge. Yeah, huge.
I think that'll get more ratings than the Final Four women's games will.
Yeah. It might get more ratings than the semifinal games of the men's Final Four. The title game will probably be different. People love watching Caitlin Clark, man. And now that they're playing LSU. Yeah.
Especially since the men's aren't on CBS, it's TBS now.
That too. Iowa's kicking it right now. I didn't know they were playing right now.
Yeah, and Ray also mentioned something earlier. He thoughts on what Dan Dockage said about being jealous of Purdue. Yeah, I found it comical. But he flips all the time on teams, and he's been very critical of Purdue at times this year too. So I didn't put I didn't put a lot of stock into it.
I've muted that clown years ago.
Yeah.
My mental health's been so much better since then.
That's good.
Forgot he was the top guy at ESPN. Like, the top, besides Billis. Take Billis out. Yeah. I think Dawkins was probably their number two, so he won their top.
Yeah, he works for OutKick now, and then he is back on the radio waves down in Indianapolis on that. Not with the fan, on different radio stations. So he still gets his voice out there.
Yeah, he's pretty opinionated.
Oh, yeah.
Any other topics, or you want to hear that birdie bogey?
Let's go ahead and with the birdie or bogey question.
There is one school to be a top three seed in each of the last four NCAA tournaments. Can you name that school?
I got a good guess, and I was very confident early in the show. And as the show went on, my confidence is starting to dip, but I'm sticking with it. Houston.
Oh, you're wrong. Oh, man. Houston 2 years ago was a five when they beat Illinois. It is Baylor. Baylor is the only school to be a top three seed in the last
four. Yeah, they weren't even on my radar.
Houston was a good guess, because I'm sure they've been real close. Purdue's been real close, too, because they've been a top four seed each of the last four. But
yeah.
And Garrett Weiniger. Shout out Garrett Weiniger, our classmate winning the state title. 4A state
4A title, state title Fishers.
Fishers High School in Indiana. So that's huge. They're the best team in the state throughout the season, and they capped it off with a title. So
They only lost one game all year. And I was really impressed with what he did. And
the toughest sectional in the state. I mean, there were multiple top 10 teams in the sectional alone. So
he always knew he'd do something basketball related growing up, because there was nobody in our grade who loved the sport of basketball more than Garrett. Nobody.
And he's been on the show a few times. So.
Yes. Maybe we'll have to get him back on now. They stayed a two-time state champ because he was assistant coach at Warren Central when they won a few years ago. Yeah.
And one of their really good players both times went on to, well, one's a pretty highly rated wide receiver recruit on his team currently, but the other was David Bell. So
Yeah.
Who worked out pretty well at Purdue. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Go NC State. We'll talk to you next time.
Come on, J-Man.